Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our third episode of Educators Grow podcast. My name is John Wasik, the host of this podcast, as well as an elementary school principal in Oak Lawn, Illinois. One of the goals of this podcast was obviously to have educators come in and share how they're growing in the world of education and beyond. And I think one of the important things for me was to bring in people of all different kinds of positions. We've had a principal last week. We had some classroom teachers, our first episode, and this week we bring a school counselor. We are going to be chatting with Wendy Kane, who I connected with online via Twitter. She is just wonderful when it comes to different PBIS ideas and initiatives. She has some great ideas and insights, and I'm excited about chatting with her today on our episode. But that is just a brief introduction for me, and I would like her to just kind of share a little bit more about her. So Wendy, welcome.
Thanks, John. I appreciate being here today, and I'm super excited to do a podcast. This is my first one ever, and so I'm really excited, and I was telling all my coworkers, and they were all super excited for it, so awesome opportunity. My name is Wendy Kane. I am an elementary school counselor. I work right now with grades 1 through 5. I live in Gunnison, Colorado, which is a rural area. And so it's a small school. I take care of about 540 kids and they keep me very busy.
Wonderful. I know that we talked before about just that different perspective because I've never been in a rural district and you have always been in rural districts, correct?
Yes.
Yes, that's always been intriguing to me, always those different things. What do you think some of the benefits of being in a rural or a smaller district like that?
I think the benefits of a smaller district is it gives me a great opportunity to really build relationships with kids and with their families and our great community services to connect families and kids to those services. And, you know, I see kids at the store and you kind of feel like a rock star everywhere you go because you see them all over town and, oh, Miss Kane, Miss Kane. And at Halloween, it was especially great. I had kids running down from my door screaming, it was my counselor. Oh my gosh. And so it's just really cool to be able to connect in a more personal way with all kids.
Well, that is awesome. One other thing you mentioned, this is your first podcast, so I'm glad to be able to host you on your first one. Do you listen to any podcasts?
I do listen to podcasts. I've listened to yours.
Wonderful.
Kids Deserve It is another podcast I really love. I'm trying to get more and more into podcasts, and I just need to always remember to throw it on in the morning when I'm getting ready or driving to work and make that part of my routine.
Yeah, that's my favorite time. I have about a 40-minute drive home from work, so I found some really good 40-minute ones there, and it's just kind of like a nice way for me to decompress. That's how I started on Twitter via a podcast. I went a little bit backwards, I think, according to some other people that I know.
Well, it's never too late to start.
Well, all right. With that being said, are you ready to start? We have a few questions here we'll discuss.
All right, let's do it.
All right, I always like to lead off with my favorite question. If you could describe yourself in 3 words or less in your first year in education, and then could you also describe yourself in 3 words or less in your current year in education?
So when I saw this question, I really enjoyed it. It made me reflect on my practices back and when I started. And when I started, my 3 are nervous, unsure, and excited. I was definitely nervous. I wanted to do a great job. I wanted to serve my students well. I wanted to build connections and kind of had all these dreams and ideas. I was unsure how to make them all happen, but I was excited to go through the process and try to figure it out. And my 3 now, I think, are quite different. I'm bold, methodical, and futuristic. And the futuristic is my number one Clifton strength. And so futuristic is that I really look at the big picture. I'm always dreaming of how can we go bigger and better for kids? What can we do to make their experience better? How can we tie our parents into our learning community more? And that's kind of what I always have. It's a great thing about me, but it's kind of hard at the same time. I have to rein myself in and remember you got to step back sometimes and chunk it out a few pieces at a time.
Oh, man, I agree. I was talking to somebody the other day, and it's a colleague of mine, and they're really good at kind of slowing me down, because I always look, I'm like, oh, this is where I want to go. This is like that end picture, without thinking about necessarily sometimes all those steps that go in between and making something successful.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And then you mentioned kids, which I know that we talk about in this podcast and many of the other podcasts. Kids deserve it, you know, obviously is a focus there, but just having that kids first mentality of all of our different, everything that we do is really about, hey, what's going to be best for the kids?
Absolutely. And that's one of my number one sayings is it what's best for kids? If I had a t-shirt and it had a slogan, that's what it would say on it. Is it what's best for kids? And I just think we always have to remember that they're our number one stakeholders. It's our why. We're here for them, to support them in any ways necessary, whatever it takes. Got to be there for kids.
Sounds good. And if you do go about that shirt business, you let me know, because I'll jump on one too.
I definitely will.
I'll take a blue large, please.
Perfect. Writing it down right now.
Right, wonderful. Moving on. Think about the whole learning process. Are there ever any steps that you kind of have to stop and remind yourself to take, or you have to kind of remind others to take during that, like I said, process?
So I think this question ties up great with my futuristic thinking and like having to pull the reins in, because I always have to remember that relationships are first. Mm-hmm. It's great, even with my colleagues, to make sure that I'm building those relationships. So when I have my crazy ideas, they have a little bit more buy-in than just, oh, crazy Miss Kane and her crazy ideas. So they want to build that ideal and that dream with me. And I keep thinking about those, chunking it into smaller pieces and making it manageable. So when I talk a big game, I can follow through and build that futuristic agenda for kids. And, you know, goes back again, is it what's best for kids? And Absolutely. Are we preparing kids for the future that awaits them? And how are we making that happen?
I think what you mentioned about trust, I feel like that's a really big thing that sometimes we all have to kind of reflect on, whether it is in the classroom or whether it's in your position or my position, understanding that if we want people to take those chances, that we really have to have that trust aspect down, that sometimes it's very easy for us to kind of forget that.
Absolutely. And it can be the small things, you know, leaving notes for your coworkers, telling them you appreciate them, getting them a coffee one day. We have a binder that has all of our staff's favorite things. And so if you notice, you know, they're having a bad day and they wrote down, oh, my favorite thing's a Kit Kat, you know, take them a Kit Kat or something. And it's just those small reminders and tokens of appreciation that really take those relationships to the next level.
I love that idea. I'm going to write that one down, because one of my favorite things about connecting with other educators is getting good ideas from them. I'm going to write that idea with a binder down. I love that.
Yeah, it's a great way to surprise people. And I think often people forget that they filled it out at the beginning of the year. And then when they get a treat from you, they're like, whoa, how did you remember that I liked this team? Or this is my favorite color. And I think that it really fills their bucket so much. So I really think it's a great thing to do.
And then also, like you said about coffee, there's some people, I'm one of those weird educators that doesn't like coffee. So, you know, it might be good for other people to know too. So
absolutely.
So how can you, or how do you help develop a growth mindset in others?
Well, I think a big part of it, and it's interesting that this is one of the questions, because I've been teaching a lot with my lessons of, we did growth mindset, and just last week and this week I've been teaching about forgiveness. And I think that forgiveness and letting go is such a huge part of that growth mindset. And I'm constantly reminding the kids, you know, hey, do we make mistakes? Absolutely. And is that okay? Absolutely. But how are we going to fix it? How can we learn from those and grow? And I say that as an educator, that my lessons on a Monday might be totally different by the time I get to Friday, because I've picked up on things that don't work or things that I could have put in there that are better, and getting that feedback from kids and teachers. And so just keeping that open mind about, you know, what am I missing? Am I on the right track? What can I do better? And keeping that growth mindset even as an adult, because the kids see what we model. Mm. And when we're modeling, hey, that's okay, I made a mistake and here's how I fixed it and we're gonna let it go and move on and that's great. I think kids really appreciate seeing that adults need growth mindset just as much as they do.
It always amazes me, even in my 11th year in education, it always amazes me just how perceptive students are, how they pick up on everything. It's not just the things that we say, but the things that we do, our actions, our body language. It's constantly amazing to me just how they pick up on all those things.
Yeah, they're very receptive to anything we're doing, and we're always in the spotlight. Anytime a kid mm-hmm. sees us doing something, they're learning from it.
Absolutely.
So we're gonna make it good.
Absolutely. So when you have the opportunity to learn something, what kind of approach do you take?
So my approach to this is that I go all in. I get kind of gung-ho when I'm learning about stuff. I'll get totally entrenched in the topic and I'll buy every book on Amazon I can find on it. I'll watch every documentary on Netflix. And so actually, one of my other Clifton strengths is input, meaning that I just love information and I love learning and growing and finding out about new things all the time. Any tidbit of information, I love useless trivia. I'm a Jeopardy queen. So anything that can boost my Jeopardy score, I'm in.
I was just talking to, I'm on spring break right now. I was just telling my wife, my favorite thing about spring break is that I can be at home to watch Jeopardy. That is a true story right there. So
that is awesome. One time my boss had to call me at home and I told him, now from 6 to 6:30 is off limits because that's when Jeopardy is on. So even my boss knows Jeopardy time is very sacred.
Oh, I'm jealous. We have it at 3:30 in the afternoon. So I'm never home if we have work.
Oh, I feel for you.
Mm-hmm. But going back to the question, I'm just like you. When there's a topic that's on my brain, I just go out. My first go-to is Amazon. I find whatever books are available. I was just listening to The Cult of Pedagogy. That's a great podcast by Jennifer Gonzalez. And they were talking about restorative practices. And of course, they named a few books. And by the time I got home, I was ordering about four of them. So my wife always knows when she sees the Amazon bill coming in that there's a new topic or something new that I'm interested in right now.
Absolutely. I love getting those packages and they just pile up. And my husband always is questioning, but you haven't read any of them yet. And I said, I know I'm getting to it. I'm just gathering my resources.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. I like that I have it. You know, so when there is like a little bit of time in the day, there, now I know what I can do with it.
Perfect.
So is there anything right now, educational related or not, that you're intrigued by and want to learn more about?
So something that this is my dive in right now is I love real life true stories. Those are always the most fascinating, biographies, anything of that nature. And so I really got into the mountaineering aspect. And so as I was saying, you know, Netflix, so I was watching K2 and Alive and I mean, all the movies that you can think of that had to do with mountaineering and it going horribly wrong, of course, and then reading all the books about it. And so that's what I've been kind of digging into right now.
Now, you mentioned that you're in Colorado. Are you guys near the mountains?
We are near the mountains. I have never climbed a 14er despite being a native, but it is on my bucket list. So I'm looking forward to getting out there. I guess by doing this kind of research, I'm learning how not to do it.
That's an interesting approach to learning. Yeah, being in Chicago in the Midwest, we don't have anything close to mountains. I guess we just have really tall buildings, but no mountains at all. No, none. So
you'll have to come out here sometime.
I've been to Denver once and it was wonderful. It was a wonderful town, but I've never really been in them. Actually, I lie. I've been to Breckenridge one time for skiing.
Breck is awesome.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Last question. I love this as a final question, or bookend question as I look at it. If you had one wish for schools, as crazy and creative as it may be, and no monetary restrictions at all, what would it be?
So interestingly, myself and my principal, we've been talking about if we could build a new school, what would it look like? And so that's kind of where my mind went on this one. And I was just reading, there was a great article on Edutopia, and it was about ideal learning environments. And it showed all these buildings where they had floor-to-ceiling glass. They had innovation stations where students could work in a collaborative area and give presentations and kind of these multi-use hangouts where kids had access to computers to do research and there might be a stage and some seating so that students had the opportunity to move around and work in groups in a much more open and relaxed atmosphere, and they had outdoor classrooms for learning, STEAM areas, robotics areas. And it's just amazing to see all these great ideas of what a building could be. I really fell in love with the idea of the glass walls, mm-hmm. because then as you're walking around, you can kind of see what everyone else is doing. And as humans, aren't we all interested in what everyone else is doing? And as educators, how cool would it be if you could just wander around your building and notice what other teachers were doing and pick up some tools and some tricks and just think, oh, that was a really cool thing I saw them doing. I'd love to follow up in my classroom and see how I could make that happen. So I think an ideal learning space and a space where kids could really thrive would be my bucket list item.
Wow, glass walls. I mean, we always talk about sharing what we're doing in our classrooms. That would be, how crazy would that be? But that's so interesting. That's so interesting. I haven't had a chance to check that article out. I'll have to look for it.
Yeah, it's really cool. And there's, I think, a video that goes with it that shows one school where they were able to, through a tax levy or a mill levy, they raised taxes and the community really came together and decided they wanted a better place for their kids. And, you know, only 20% of their students were going to post-secondary education. And so they had to rework this building. The principal said, it's hard trying to teach 21st century goals and tools and all of that in a 19th century building. Mm-hmm. And so we need to make our spaces more applicable to what our students are learning and what they're going to experience in the future.
Very interesting. Well, Wendy, I just want to say thank you again for taking some time to join our podcast. I'll give you I'd love for you to share your Twitter handle or other ways to connect with you in a moment. But before we do that, I just have a challenge for everybody. So my challenge for everybody here is, if you're listening still, please share something on Twitter that reflects something you're learning. It could be a book, an article, something you're trying on class, or anything. Also, if you could attach a picture, that'd be great. And then use the hashtag EducatorsGrow. Tag others. Share this challenge. You can post as many as you want. And next Monday, April 2nd, everybody that participates will have their name put in a drawing, and the winner will get an educational book of their choice. So hopefully you guys can share some great things. Again, one of my things that I really believe is we learn so much from each other, and I would love for us to share with the hashtag EducatorsGrow something we're learning to learn a little bit more from each other. Again, use that hashtag EducatorsGrow by next Monday, April 2nd, and your name will be put in a drawing for an educational book of your choice. Again, Wendy, thank you very much for taking your time. I'm glad you can join us. Congratulations on your first podcast.
Yes, thank you. I'm so excited to have done it. And whew, now that I've done one, I think I can run with this and go nuts a little bit.
There you go. And again, do you have a Twitter handle or any other ways that people can contact you or follow you?
I do have a Twitter handle. It is at Ms. Kane Counselor, so M-S-K-A-N-E, and then Counselor, and that is on my Twitter, and that's where I'd love to see how people are growing in education and what's helping them to grow, giving those ideas, so tag me.
Wonderful. Well, again, thank you very much for your time, and appreciate everything, and it's just some wonderful ideas, and I'm glad that I can share it with you.
Yes, thank you so much for hosting me.
All right, everybody, thank you very much for joining us for our third edition of Educators Grow.